off pretty fun. By show of hands, how many of you were raised as a kid going to church? Some of us, okay. How many of you in this room met Jesus later on in life? Okay. Now, I want you to see, we're almost half and half, and it's kind of awesome. Now, in the early church, when this story first started, after Christ died, defeated death, rose again, and ascended into heaven, his people started gathering, and the church was very different than it is right now. Like right now, just look around, you'll see a variety of people. Different colors, what's up? Different ages, it's awesome. The early church, though, was very homogenous. It was very monocultural. The first revivals of the church were all Jewish. Everyone spoke the same language. Everybody had the same historical background. It was very much, we all might be related. That was the first church, okay? But then, this revival starts off in a city called Antioch. And this revival sees all kinds of different people meeting Jesus. You see, like, all these pagan sinners. You see all these nationalities turning to Christ. And Christianity moves from a Jewish world into the whole world. And Paul and Barnabas, they feel called to go and just preach Christ to every single city they could possibly get to. And all of a sudden, Christianity starts becoming not a Jewish faith, but a global faith. The church goes from being monocultural to being multicultural, which is kind of awesome. So in Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas and Timothy, and they're going on this, they're basically going for round two to preach Jesus around Asia Minor. They're on the road. They feel called, they're passionate, they're going to go and preach Christ. And this is what happens. In Acts 16, verse 6 through 10, the Word of God says the following. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the gospel to them. What happened? I want you to listen very carefully. They passed, go back to verse 6, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. Now, whenever you read the Bible, especially reading like a book like Acts or the Gospels, whenever you see all these city names, don't just walk by them. Get a map out and see where are they going, what's going on. If you were to look, you'd see that these guys, Paul is trying to head west. Paul is essentially on the road to Ephesus. And Ephesus is like the largest city in the region. And Paul was a strategist. Paul thought, I'm going to bring the gospel to large cities. I'm going to preach Jesus in these big cities. And everyone comes to the cities for, like, trade, to trade their goods. So if we preach gospel in the cities, it'll like, slowly spread out into the countrysides. So he went, I'm going to go to Ephesus. It's one of the biggest, baddest cities in the area. I'm going that direction. But what happens? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So Paul feels called to go to Ephesus. He starts walking over there, and the door closes on him. The Spirit of the Lord, it says, forbade him to go. Today's sermon is entitled, When God Closes a Door. Now here's the deal. In my life, I've been told by people, well-meaning people, they say, if God gives you a calling, He'll provide the means to accomplish the call. Very positive, affirming messages. But what about when you feel led by the Lord? Maybe you feel led into a relationship, or you feel led to take a job somewhere. You feel led to buy a home or move to a certain city, and you feel like God has led you to this new thing. And so you're like, Lord, I think you're leading us to this place. So you take these steps of faith. And what if on that journey, trying to honor God, the door shuts? That'd be very discouraging, wouldn't it? You'd wonder, God, I thought you were leading me here. Why did you stop us? I think of Abraham, told by the Lord, I'm going to give you a son. And as soon as that son is born, the Lord says, you give him back to me. You bring Isaac to the mountain and you offer him up to me. Think of Moses, who's told by God, lead my children Israel to the promised land. Then Moses told later, you're never going to enter that promised land yourself. He's on the road doing what God has called to do, and the door closes. It is a hard thing to go through, to have a dream or a vision or a hope, and you think, oh, my life's going to go a certain way, but here's the reality. Life, I said this last service, and it's so dumb to say, I'm going to say it again. Life is like a football. And here's what I mean. I love football as a sport. But when I played football, the thing I was scared of most was a fumble. When that ball pops out of someone's hands, a football is not like a soccer ball is circular. A circle ball is easy to guess where it's going to bounce. A football bounces goofy. It's oblong. Me, I'm a big guy. I can't change direction very quickly. So if I'm going to die for the football, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to be the hero of the game. Going to get the fumble. I jump. Hits the ground and bounces funny, and I miss the stinking ball. It's the worst feeling in the world. Listen, life is like that. It bounces funny. You can prepare. You can think to yourself, I'm going to plan, prepare. I'm going to think life's going to go a certain way, and it can bounce in a way you don't see coming, and it can leave you very discouraged, sad. God, what are you doing? Sometimes doors close. In my own life, I remember there's this missionary named David Livingston. And David Livingston brought the gospel to Africa. When he died, the Missionary Society of England came to get his body in Africa. They get there and they say, we've come for the body of Mr. Livingston. His disciples go into a tent. They hear some noise. They bring the body out, and the body is all like mutilated. They're like, what'd you guys do? And the Africans say, you can take his body, but his heart belongs to Africa. The people kept his heart and buried it there with them because they knew David Livingston loved Africa and loved the people he brought the gospel to. Now, I heard that story as a young man, and it inspired me. That someday I'm going to be a missionary, and when I die, I'm going to cut my heart out and put it in the ground. Listen, that's a weird goal to have as a person. Promise me when I die, you'll cut this bad boy out for me. No, but so I go to India. My wife and I, we move to India. We sell everything we own, and we move across the world to bring the message of Jesus to a Hindu nation. And I thought for sure, I'm going to preach in that land until I die. We lasted 2 years. The government changed. And every missionary I know was sent out of that country, including me and Angie. And it was a devastating time. I'm like, God, I thought you led me here. How could you let this happen? It can feel the way, God, I thought this was from your hand. How is it closing? But here's what Paul learns. This is what happens next. What does Paul do when the door closes? So it says, they're forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to get into Bithynia. So now, so he goes west, door closes. So he veers north. And it says, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. A door closed again. I'm going this way, door closed. I turn this way, door closed. But here's what Paul does. Paul and Silas and Timothy, when the door closes, you know what they do? They keep trying other doors. Because here's the truth I want to teach you is this. A closed door is not a closed calling. If God has called you to something, if God has gifted you to something, if God has given you passion for something, just because you face a setback does not mean the story is over. The end of a chapter is not the end of the book. I know it can feel, when something ends, it can feel so devastating. You ask the question, God, what now? How can this be? But it doesn't mean it's over. Paul and his crew keep on hitting door, closed door after closed door. But every time the door closes, they keep on saying, well, this isn't it. But I know we're called to this. I know we're called to preach. Let's go north. By the time they get to Troas, they've been on the road for 400 miles. Listen, that's Chicago. Driving to Chicago, 5-hour drive, right? 5 hours? That's not an awesome drive. My kids would be like, 5 hours, what are we going to do? Now, that's driving. Imagine walking 400 miles. That's like weeks of your life. And they keep on walking. Imagine walking a week, and God's like, nope. Paul's like, I guess we'll go north. They go north. Nope. For 400 miles, imagine 400 miles of nope. Discouragement. Discouragement would set in easy, but these guys, they believe God has called us. We're going to keep on walking forward. A closed door is not a closed calling. We can't just lay down and let it be the end of the story. So what happens next? Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. Hope you notice that change of pronoun. When he had seen the vision, we sought to go. What happens here is Luke is the writer of this book of Acts. And in that moment, we see Luke joins Paul and Silas and Timothy. It goes from they did this to we did this because Luke joins them. So we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the gospel to them. So here's what happens. Paul has a vision in the night, a dream, if you will. And in the dream, Paul looks across the ocean, across the sea, and Paul sees this Macedonian man on the shore, and he's going, come to us, help us. Help us. He wakes up and he goes, guys, I had this dream. And I think God is trying to tell us something. Principle number two is this. Principle number two is the following. A revealed need may be a God opportunity. A revealed need may be a God opportunity. Here's what I mean by this. In life, okay, Beautiful Ashes is here today. A lot of our friends come here as the days go on. We've had Forgotten Man Ministries. Corey's Forgotten comes here. The prison ministry. We've had Life Challenge come here. An addiction ministry. Carriage Town has come visited us. The homeless ministry. Here's a fact. You can't serve in every one of these things that we show you. The thing is, some of these might strike you deep to the heart. One of these ministries might say, man, this ministry, this need speaks to me. And when a need speaks to you, that's probably God prompting you and leading you to maybe get involved. I hear about 100 needs every single week of my life. I can't engage all of them. But if one of them breaks through and grabs me by the shirt, I pay attention. I'm like, Lord, are you going to use this as the next thing you want me to be a part of? Like, so we all have different eyes that see. We have some ladies in our first service, Mrs. Deb and Mrs. Lori. Mrs. Lori was in an extended stay hospital for how long, John? 2 or 3 months she was in an extended stay hospital. Real discouraged. It was a hard thing to be in a hospital that long. And she realized, man, being in the hospital is really discouraging, really hard. So when she got out, her Mrs. Deb decided, we want to minister to people who go through what I went through. So they make up little baskets. And when anyone in our church goes through an extended stay, those two sweet ladies go and visit them and take care of them and watch out for them on the long term. They saw a need. They didn't come to me and go, Pastor, we see a need, take care of it. They saw a need and said, we see a need, we see a hurt. How can we meet it? And now they take their sweet little baskets. Listen, I told you last week, there's a guy in our church, went and had a surgery, woke up paralyzed from the waist down. Guess who was there ministering to them this week? Miss Deb and Lori. They have a passion and a heart to be involved in this way. If God reveals a need to you, listen, Beauty for Ashes saw a need. There are women in our city being trafficked. How can we engage this? And they started, it started small. And as time goes forward, they're going to start doing internships with their ladies soon. The ministry grows. If you see a need, that might be God leading you to the next chapter. That might be the door God's leading to you. This closed door might be leading to this open door. When Indy ended for me and Angie, we didn't give up. Like Paul, we believed God. I thought for a long time, we're going to go back to India someday. So we came back to America after getting arrested and deported. It's a long, awful story. We come back to America, and I'm applying for my visa every 3 months. They sent me back my visa denied. I took the application. It was like $150 every time I applied. I'm just dropping money. I'm like, I'm going to be a bee in your bonnet. You're going to stink and notice me. So we're applying over and over again. And while we're waiting, if we're applying for this work, Angie gets pregnant with Angelina. And we're waiting for an answer from India, and it's baby time. And Angie tells me, Ernesto, if India calls you while I'm in labor, don't tell me about it. I got enough going on. I can't deal with India. Sure enough, she's in labor. And you know, the labor is a long, it takes time to have a baby. So she's in labor. Phone rings. I look at it. India consulate. I sneak out the room. I go outside, answer the phone. Mr. Alanese, like, this is he. They're like, we're calling to tell you that we've set aside your visa application. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Am I approved? No, you're not approved. Am I denied? You are not denied. I'm like, well, what does it mean? It's like, we have taken your application. We've put it on a shelf. You are officially in limbo. You can't reapply because you have been denied. You are in a crack in the system, and you can go nowhere. And I knew in that moment, India was over. The dream of mine was gone. I had to go back in the room with Angie, not tell her a word, just be like, baby time, baby. And I'd tell her anything. When India fell, I was very discouraged for a long time. I actually fell into a depression. I'd sleep a lot of hours during the day. When I wake up, I couldn't find the motivation to shower, to brush my teeth. When you get depressed real bad, you just kind of just, you don't care. Hygiene, nothing matters. So I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm just like, God, I followed you and you closed the door on me. What's up with that? And then one of my mentors called me. And I talked to him on the phone out. We're living with my in-laws. It's great, let me tell you. Listen, my in-laws are great people, but living with in-laws for a long time, it gets old for anybody, even great people. So I'm living with my in-laws. I'm on the phone with my mentor. My mentor tells me, Ernesto, you're so focused on India. God has called you to something. whatever gift he's given you, whatever he's called you to, do that wherever you happen to be. So I'm like, okay. So I go to Angie, like, babe, what do we do? What do we got? And we're like, we love people, and we love giving people the Bible and giving them Jesus. So we saw there was a need for youth ministry in the Thumb of Michigan, started a youth group Wednesday nights at the house we're living in. Kids start coming to this house. We're just living there, unemployed, doing nothing. Kids start coming. We start doing these turbo Bible retreats. It was like a three-day weekend to learn the whole Bible. And each weekend we do it would fill up with kids. It was an awesome moment of life. We saw a need, and that need was the door to help walk us back into serving God here in America. When you see, when God reveals to you a need, pay attention. God will be leading you to a new God opportunity. A closed door is not a closed calling. The story's not over. Now, I want to end in a certain place. When I read this passage, when I read Acts, I put myself in Paul's shoes because I love Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. I worship Jesus. But maybe you're here and you're not there. Maybe you're here and like, Jesus, I don't know about this guy. I like him a little bit. Maybe I don't know if he's real. I don't know if I believe in him. Maybe I'm mad at him. Maybe his people tick me off. I don't know. But you and Jesus, there's like, I don't know what's real about this. And your life, as you live your life, the question of how does my life honor Christ isn't part of your equation. You don't think to yourself, are my decisions bringing glory to God? You don't care about that stuff. Maybe you're here and God is not a part of your equation. Well, if that's you, well, then you're not Paul in this story. If that's you, if you're here and you don't know what you believe about God, you are the man of Macedonia. You are the man in the dream standing on the shore calling out, someone come and help us. If you don't know the Lord, that means you are still separated from God and you are alone in your sin. And the Macedonian says, come and help us. Help us with what? Help us with our money? Help us with self-esteem? No, we need help for our souls. It says here, he concludes that God had called them to proclaim the gospel to Macedonia. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy go to Europe and bring the gospel for the first time onto European soil. The Macedonians, they needed for their soul, they needed the good news of Jesus. They needed to know that God Almighty saw us alone, afraid, dead in our sin, and sent his son to save us. I had this girl I went to college with. She's a good friend of mine. She told me this story, crazy story she told me once. She told me her dad was a teacher down at the bottom of the, they lived on a mountain, and he'd drive down this mountain every day to go to school and teach. And it was very foggy on the way, like often there'd be fog between the top of the mountain and the bottom of the valley. He had to drive very slow coming out of that hill to go down and teach. And one day this man is driving down the hill. And there was this treacherous bridge that you always knew you got to be slow. Drive slow on this bridge because if it gets wet and foggy, it's easy to slide on this bad boy. As he comes down across this bridge, he looks and he sees a car went off the bridge and fell into the stinking muck. It wasn't even in the water. It was in the muck next to the water. But the muck was really mucky. And stinking, the car is slowly being sucked into the mire. He pulls off the road, gets out of the car, runs down into the muck, and there's a lady in the car. And when the muck grabs the car, the muck seals the car shut. That muck is like a vacuum. The doors won't open. This woman's in the front seat, and she is panicking because she is going to die in this car. Now, this man was a normal man. He wasn't a UFC fighter. He wasn't a 300-pound behemoth. He was a normal dude, middle-aged. And he's like, how do I save this woman? He stood upon the hood of the car. And it was like, but you imagine, it's slippery, it's gross, it's muddy. But God is with him in this moment. and he began to just heel kick the windshield. And listen, windshields are strong things. You give me a dry day and a windshield, I might not win that fight. Fair? That's just what it is. Like, it's that cars are made to take a hit. But who? I don't know if it's adrenaline. I don't know if it's already maybe weakened by the crash. But the Lord, he starts cracking and breaking the windshield, breaks it in, saves this girl, and she does not die. Listen, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, you are in this car and you are sinking in the mire. And God sent his son Jesus to save you. To save you from sin, death, and hell. We're told that Christ came down on the cross and he died that we may live. He died our death that we might live his life. But how do I enter into this? How do I receive the sacrifice of Christ into my actual life? The Bible says we receive this gift by faith. The Bible says so clearly, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. When I was 14 years old, I prayed a foolish, poor prayer, but it came from an authentic and desperate heart. My prayer was simply, Lord, I hear you save sinners. If you'll have me, I'll be yours forever. And that goofy prayer, he heard and he rescued me. And he can rescue you and change your heart and your life. We're going to take a moment now to where we're sitting. We're going to go ahead and close our eyes and bow our heads. If you are here and you have never called upon the name of the Lord, you've never made the decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. Maybe today is the day of your salvation. I want to pray a prayer. And if you're here and you've never met the Lord, you can pray this prayer in your heart. Make it your own. It's not the words that matter. It's the authenticity and the desperation of your heart. If you're here and you've never met the Lord and you want to meet him, I encourage you to pray after me in this moment. Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I need you to save me. I believe your son Jesus died for me. I put my faith in Jesus this day. Lord, I am yours. Amen. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed the prayer for the first time this day, we are told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit will make his home in your heart. He'll begin to whisper and move and change from the inside out. If you're here and you're just beginning your journey to Jesus, let me or Pastor John know. We'd love to pray with you, celebrate with you, and help walk with you as you follow the Lord. As we end our time to this day, go ahead and look up at me if you will. What is the will of God for our lives? I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. We're just taking these little steps by faith every day, hoping we're not making, not too big of a mess of things. I encourage you, if one door closes, don't give up. If God has called you, if God gave you the dream and the vision, take the hit and try another door. For those of you here who are meeting Jesus for the first time, we love to see what Christ is going to do, how he's going to renew your life. So let's go ahead and pray one more time together and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, bless all those who are here. Let your word encourage us. Those watching online, those sitting in this room, Lord, let us remember that you are good. We can trust you. Even when things are hard, you are still the king. You are King Jesus. Help us to trust you even in the hard. And for those who are meeting for the first time, help us to trust you and follow you in this new life of faith. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.